Welcome to Archers of the North, where we have, at this point, a guest, really, and someone who's singing that's gorgeous.
Oh, you can hear it in the background. Hey, Wayne, they can hear you in the background. You're on the pod now. You should listen when it comes out.
That's so good. That was really good. I was setting up the intro for Jesse, and it was actually Lane singing. So really, shout out to Lane for beautiful vocals. That should be our intro music. I'm just going to splice that and turn that into the intro for this podcast.
That'd be really awesome. Nice. If you mixed it, do a little mixing the next time you have a snow day.
Yeah, next snow day. It's now, the date is April 30th. No, it's not quite. What day is it today? 24th.
24th.
That's the one. Do you guys just know what day it is all the time? Like, I
more than I'd like to. It's not like
I'm trying to.
I kind of have to.
Really? Oh, that's sad, dude.
Adulting. Just like a lot of stuff happens, and like with with like being gone a lot of weekends and traveling, I'm like, okay, so May 3rd I'm here, May 10th I'm gone, May 17th, and so then having that anchor, the rest of the days aren't like that hard off of that. You know what I mean?
But yeah, they do go numerically. How do you remember how many days are in each month? Do you guys have a trick for that?
Yeah, I look it
I
up.
I do the knuckle. No, that's weak. I do the knuckle. Yep, you know the knuckle knuckles?
Thing. Yeah, I know the knuckle thing. That's why I bring it up. Knuckle thing's awesome. Jesse looks
knuckle
it
thing is cool. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
I know some like swoops and dots and whatever.
Yeah, you cross the T and then you put the little dot on top. It tells you how
30 days has November, April, September, and June, something like that. I don't know.
It does rhyme, which is helpful. Yeah, it does make
it rhymes, but it doesn't. It could rhyme with any month. It's so I like that one because it doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like you could put any month, but 30 days has February, April, June, and July. And like that didn't help.
But it does. Right.
No, that rhymed for sure. That was a good rhyme.
Yeah, see, it rhymed.
Okay, you're right. All right, the embers. There's a lot of embers is what I meant to say, but you're right.
My favorite rhyme is February and July. That's my favorite rhyme.
It's a slant rhyme.
One of our running jokes in our house is that Sadie tells me I don't understand how rhyming works. Like, I do slant rhymes all the time. I think it's because of the vocal. Like, vocal music asks for slant rhymes all the time. Like, you're putting weird syllabic stress to make the slant to make the rhyme happen. I keep saying slant rhyme now because someone else said it. I'm not a good rhymer.
The wrong syllables, am I right, boys?
I make that joke with my kids all the time and no one ever laughs. I say, don't put the emphasis in the wrong syllable, and they look at me like I just had a stroke. It's like, no, I did that on purpose. That was the joke. Oh well.
Like, it's always good when you explain the joke. That's how you know it hit.
Hey, kids, listen to this joke that I did. Yeah, I'm coughing too. So Jesse said he has a sore throat. I've got a cough. So Ice, take us home. Tell us what we're doing.
I feel fine. I don't know about you guys. we're going to talk about the NBA, I would assume. And there's also – it's a weird and wonderful time in the sports calendar because it's the NBA playoffs.
Wonderful time.
You said you had a sore throat, but that was, gorgeous.
Yeah. Okay. So,
can Lane sing something else for us about the weird?
Yeah, Lane, can you harmonize?
It's the weird, wonderful time. I want all of our listeners to know the background. Because if Frosh listens, then you know I'm outed. Wednesday nights are board game nights for me.
Shout out.
And but I was like, no, I haven't potted in a while. I'm going to skip board game night so that I can pot. And Ice goes, I might just abandon you all because I don't care about
that. Not what happened.
I already skipped board game night for this. And not only that, I've already popped. I don't know. It was some sort of acetaminophen or something. So we're in peak acetaminophen for the sore throat right now. So we'll have to see how I can, you know.
I was late. For you. Also, you guys were going to play Mario Kart before. I mean, I can always join late. We act like a two-person pod is some sort of, you know, like fantasy that no one has ever done before.
I was chatting with one of my students. That is true. He's a big NFL guy. And he's like, what's the name of your pod? And I was like, no, there's no way ever. but he's like, I think the thing to me is that nothing's sadder than a one-person pod. I was like, that's fair. Like, that's very fair. You know, like, it's really good that we don't, you know, ever. I think three, there's a reason three is our minimum. Also, Jonas, sorry, I'm also watching the game.
Yeah, so for context, since I'm obviously taking over running the pod, we're about We're 1.5 to 2 games through most of these series. The Wolves are up 2-0. We'll talk about that. The Bucks are 1-1 right now. We'll
not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about that one. The Thunder are up 1-0 against the Pelicans right now. We won't talk about that one for 20 minutes.
And yeah, it'll be Josh we'll let it do halftime because I'm ready to talk about this this series, but I'll hold back.
Yeah, the Heat just beat the Celtics, and I wanted to start there just because I watched it most of it anyway. Mm-hmm. That's pretty crazy, right? Like I was expecting that one to be a sweep.
Well, it was funny because game one, it was relatively close, and I'm like, oh, maybe the Heat will kind of make this a fun series, and the Celtics made like 30 straight threes, and then it was over. It just like happened so fast.
22 for 39.
Yeah, so it just felt like it was done. And then, are you talking about the game two here? Is the Heat?
No, I know that he's talking about tonight.
Yeah,
The Celtics were 22 for 39 in game one.
Never
and
mind.
I can pull it up tonight, but the Heat were very similar.
Heat made 22.
The story.
Yeah, the Heat just, made 22.
So tonight. Anyone at home who's like, Jesse's an idiot. He didn't know what he was doing. Ice rhymed February and July a little bit ago. So I just want to remind everyone. About
that. I think we cut that already in post.
So, it's all been Lane singing so far. So I just dubbed it over for 10 minutes. They're not hearing a thing we've said. So I thought it was going to be a fun series of game one for the first half. And then the Celtics blew the doors off in the third quarter. I'm like, oh, okay, series is over. But somehow the Heat won. So you watched more of it, so you can maybe speak to this more. But I don't get it. I don't understand what they do. And that didn't start last year either, to be clear, because they did the same thing last year, except with Jimmy Butler scoring 50 points. I don't get how they do it because they don't feel like they're very good. And yet here they are. They beat the Celtics at home.
Yeah, well, I mean, they made all their threes. That was the main reason. And they played really good, like, quality defense. And, you know, there's been a lot of that going around in the playoffs. It looked really difficult for the Celtics to shoot something that wasn't a three. And the Celtics obviously love to shoot threes, but like it's the whole like live by the three, die by the three thing, right? And in the regular season, they obviously live by the three a lot. But the Celtics are a lot closer to like the Celtics hawk threes. I think they shoot the most threes of any team in the NBA. And like, is that that feels almost not great, right, for the best team?
Well, especially normally you'd think you'd see something like that happen more on like away games because they always talk about role players start missing shots in, you know, the playoffs when they get to a road game. So you'd figure, oh, all of a sudden like Derek White's going to go 0-for-6 or whatever, you know, like something like that would happen. But at a home game, that's when you expect the role players to kind of shoot and we expect good things to happen. So that is strange. Jesse, you're going to say something?
Well, yeah, I think it was a combo of a couple of things. As I said, it's like very simple just to be like, well, they scored a franchise record three, which they did. It was a franchise record for most threes in a playoff game. So, like, that's a pretty easy
good place
thing
to start.
To point to.
It's like when Dame scored 35, and it's like, that's the most points anyone scored in the first half. It's like, that seems like a good way to
that's
win.
That's why I won.
Yeah, exactly.
But why did they do that? Boston, like this is why, to the pod, I did bet on the Heat to win. Because
futures?
Like
futures?
No, just tonight. I can't futures it. I got
regulars.
Because here's the thing: the Celtics in and of themselves are worth at least one loss in every series. It feels like, and Spo is worth at least one win in every series, just like him alone. And so I didn't know what it would be, but I figured he would make quality adjustments and would be able to get them. Close. Actually, I didn't think they'd win. I mean, I bet it because I'm a degenerate. But like,
well, it was also +14. Was you bet plus?
Yeah, 14 I bet fun. That a lot more. That a lot heavier. I bet +14. Yeah. Well, and so what it was though is that Boston was just super soft on their closeouts. I think they just, if you look at game one, the points in the paint, it was a complete change. Heat were all points in the paint game one. Very few outside shooting, and so I think Boston tried to adjust for that. And be like, we're gonna let you shoot, right? We're gonna let you shoot. We're gonna stop Bam and others from having things in the paint. And they did do that. They're just like, okay, you let us shoot, so we shoot, and we will make a franchise record number of threes. You know, so it was like a combination of like what the game allowed to happen and you having a very good a very good execution of that game plan at the same time, you know. And
well, I'm excited. I don't know, man. It could be a real series. I I was hoping.
I don't think it's originally a real series. I think it's foolhardy.
Okay. I think it could at least, I think the Heat could at least win another game, right? And if they win two games, that takes the six at the minimum. That'd be fun.
I bet. Here's my guess. I think it's either Celtics in five, or like maybe Heat win a close fluky one of two at home, and then Celtics get the other two from there. Like,
yeah, I would agree with that. That's what
I don't think what I saw tonight is very sustainable. I think it was very historical. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you're relying on Cody Martin, I mean, I know it worked last year too, and
well, that's the thing. That's why I believe in a way that is gonna that I probably shouldn't. You guys are obviously more logical about it, but like this is what I kept thinking last year. I saw this same thing last year with the Heat team, where it's like, well, okay, they can't keep doing that. Like that happened one game. Like statistically, it's gonna come back. And then it's like, nope, it didn't. They just keep making every shot. Expected points added are really high. Blah blah blah. Stat things. Mm-hmm. It didn't really matter. They just kept winning.
Slope, you know? EPA over the adjusted, man. It's so high.
I sent, if you remember this, I'm sure you guys do because it was just last year, but I sent so many graphs to the chat last year in the Bucks the Bucks Heat series, where it was like, look at every other game the Heat have played, and now look at these five huge points upward, and those are the Bucks games. You know, like I kept sending those graphs over and over. So I think it just can keep happening. I don't know. Something magical, also, something weird.
While we're on the subject, you guys see what Jimmy Butler, like the update on Jimmy Butler's injury?
No.
No.
It's like it's deemed a severe MCL sprain, facing one, if not 2 months of rehab, which is important to remember that he injured it in the first quarter and played 40 minutes.
That's wild.
Like he has 2 months of recovery ahead of him. But he still played an extra 30 minutes that night. Like, that man. That's just, like, it's insane.
That's well, good. Also in a loss. So let's just, I mean, they lost that point. Game.
Get
so
him. Get him. He was ineffective and bad.
Maybe if he hadn't played, they could have gotten Cody Martin out there sooner. That would have made the difference.
It is really sad. Like obviously, it would be a more fun series with Jimmy. That goes up being said. But also, like, Jimmy's just the best playoff player. Right, like just your iconic, I can raise my game to a level you haven't seen. And it's just, it's just fantastic.
Speaking of playoff players, you know what we have to talk about? So I was excited about this to get the real unrealistic point of the Wolves-Suns series and the realistic we're going to get crushed point of the Wolves-Suns series. Let's talk about the Kevin Durant, the Kevin Durant versus, I don't even remember his name. Sorry. that shows how good this is.
Jaden McDaniels. How dare you?
Thank you. This is why I needed you on the pod to talk, because this is, I mean, you guys both went to game one, obviously now the Wolves are up 2-0, and after game one, you both in the chat were like, okay, this is, I don't see how we lose this series anymore. I think we just win this series,
I owe the podcasters an explanation, the podcast listeners anyway, because not but a week ago, we were podcasting. Nary a week ago. Look at that frequency, by the way. But
rhymes with you, Harbinger. Am I right? Harbinger. Wow. I'm just talking. Keep going.
We're moving right on.
My throat's sore.
I went on and on about how it was impossible for the Wolves to win this series. And it was I've been reflecting and thinking of how I should apologize, the best way to apologize to our loyal listeners. And I think what happened is I fell into a classic blunder, because I'm not used to playoffs in the NBA, right? I'm not used to it. And I think what happened is I fell for the regular season mattering a lot fallacy.
Yep.
Yes. Right. I think every season, and I didn't realize this because I don't pay as much attention to playoff basketball.
Well, the season is so long, it's easy to forget.
And every season it'll be like, oh, the Thunder are playing the Pelicans. I, Isaac Johnson, don't really know that much about those two teams. The Pelicans could have beaten the Thunder four times out of four times this season. I don't know. Right. And I think that has happened like every year in the past, where one team dominates the other in the regular season, then that just doesn't matter in the postseason. So, my bad. if you thought that you were listening to the Low Post sort of informed basketball content, then that's
what
on
are
you,
you doing here. What are you doing? Yep. Here?
Yeah, I mean, I see all the Twitter hate. I see all the
they've been adding you.
Yep, our subreddit is just popping off. I'm getting destroyed, but ultimately, I apologize.
I did. I was listening to the radio today, and it was PA, one of the Minnesota hosts, and he was asking his guests. He's like, have you like, I know I'm not to be a prisoner of the moment, but have you ever seen where like the regular season series was so one-sided one way and the playoffs was the other? And the guy was like, not that I can recall, but I don't really think I would recall that. And I was like, that's a very fair response. Like, no one's like, this is crazy because in the two games that they played in the 80 this year, like, we don't really pay attention
to that. I mean, that's Bill Simmons's like thing. He'd be like, in 2006, you remember that series that these teams played? Like, people, there are people who can do that, and they're not many. So we're not going to bother with it.
The thing is, the Thunder run a drop scheme, and the last time that the Hawks faced the drop scheme in the playoffs was 04. And you're like, okay, all right, just –
the very beginning of that was a pretty good Simmons, actually, Jesse. Your acetaminophen Simmons is pretty solid.
Acetaminophen Simmons.
Yeah, we were both trying. We were both trying for something there. That was, that wasn't fun. No, I think, like, to recap, so Ice and I were at game one, so it was a little insider
Electric.
Info. Oh, my God. Electric. It was a combination of electric and also nervous. Like, clearly, like, we'd be up, like, 16, and they'd hit a three. And then get a stop, and then get a layup, and we're like, "Oh God, what's happening?" It's like it's just they scored twice. It's all the same, and we're like, "Ah, it's all unraveling now." And so,
basketball
like,
basketball is a game of runs, everybody. Game of runs.
That was fun. Oh,
and before the game, you gave me a piece of gum, Jesse. I don't usually chew gum, and you were like, "I need it when I'm anxious." And I was like, "You know what? I remember you saying that, and me being like, I am noticing. I am also very anxious for this game. I'm very nervous for this." And this is going to affect my day in a major way because it was also at 2:30 p.m., you know? So there's a whole day afterwards.
Which was great.
It was Saturday, right? So you had Sunday too. Yeah.
Leaving at 5? Leaving at 5 and just having a whole day to enjoy a Wolves win? Incredible. But Ice and I said this in the our chat already. Not Ice and I's chat, which has been blowing up for those who are wondering. Ooh. We still talk more than anybody has ever talked to two people in history.
It's basically uncomfortable, yeah.
On the way there, we were like, yeah, I just don't see how we deal with this matchup. It's four guards versus our bigs. Like, they're just going to be quick. They're just going to hack. Like, Cat's going to get into foul trouble by the first quarter. And on the way back, we were like, I don't see this matchup. I just don't see how we lose. We're just too big for them. They're too small for us. That's like the exact thing we were talking about. It just worked out differently. And it sustained to game two. We'll have to see about game three, but like, everything we said still was there game two. They still were just too small. They still like Kevin Durant, I think, has attempted, I don't know the numbers. It's either 22 or 29 shots. Hold on. Okay. 22 or 29 shots, and three of them have been uncontested. And like, that's a very good stat. So whatever he's shot, only three of them so far have been uncontested. And if we could do that, like, yeah, we are very likely going to win the series, you know, like, and yeah, or another stat for you, Booker and KD had 12 made field goals together. Jaden McDaniels had 10 made field goals last game.
That's insane.
If we can do that, like, so yeah.
Just that repeatable strategy is do that over and over, and then you're done. You've won a series.
If Pat Connaughton can outscore three Pacers, then the Bucks are going to win the series every game. Like, yeah, no, it's probably not going to happen, but that's okay. We got it for one game.
Well, that's all that matters. I mean, in the playoffs, you don't have to apologize when you're up 2-0. Like, you're halfway there. That's it. It doesn't matter how you get there. It doesn't matter who had to go off to make whatever happen. Who cares? Like, they don't take away half a game because Jaden McDaniels went crazy or because – Dame stopped playing in the second half of the first game. Nobody cares. A win's a win. Or both games, really. I keep bringing up Dame because it's wild. But
Is it like, not to be a prisoner of the moment, that has to be a record for highest first half, lowest total, like 35 in the first half, 35 for the game. Like, that's got to be.
Out. It was game over. Two, he was like, I did my work.
Game two was kind of the same way, except not as fun in the first half. It was like, 24 in the first half and 8 in the second half. You're like, uh-oh, like, this is just maybe not good. I was still going to sit on the Wolves for a little while because it's fun. Exciting. So,
I'm not done.
Had your two in Minnesota. When's the next one in Phoenix?
Friday night, 9:40. Ice is going to be here with apparently a lot more people than I expected. So we're popping.
You put in the chat of like 30. It was.
I know. I put in the chat of 30 of like who wants to watch, and then only like 4 said I'd watch. It's like, okay, I'll host. And now more have said they're coming.
We could go to our station 80. I don't think anyone's tied to your place.
No, I think
let's
right
make
now
a
we'll
plan.
Be good. We'll be good.
Let's
we'll
make
good.
A plan
we'll
on air.
This is okay. good. This is good. Fucking
hey, Fred, when you hear this, you let us know.
Come on over to my house for the Wolves game. It's Friday night, 9:40, which is really nice when you have to get Annie to the airport by 6:30 the next morning. Ooh. That's nice and good.
Who's Annie again?
Annie, I'll tell you guys about her later. It's kind of a new thing. I don't want to jinx it.
Cool. So. Sweet. Congrats.
Just mind your own
If she could sing on the pod, that'd be really cool because that's what everybody's doing now.
That's the thing. I haven't heard Sadie, so.
Yeah, you make a good point. And that's not going to happen, so I'm not even going to make a joke about it.
But, Friday 9:40, and then Sunday, and then Tuesday, and then I think Thursday. I have them all on my phone, baby. We're locked in now.
What's been super fun is that this is probably a home crowd thing too, but it seems like from the moments I've caught that the Wolves are just like it's just more engaged. It just seems like, and maybe it's because the Suns have all these vets that are indifferent, but they're just kind of floating around, and the Wolves are like anytime something big happens, you see they're all like invested and really. It's fun to cheer for a team like that when you can tell how much they care and it's going well. I guess the downside is they could care a lot and it's going poorly and then people are getting teed up and complaining or whatever. But that's not happening right now. And the Suns are just kind of coasting along, losing. That's an exciting way for a series to go for your team.
It's more fun. And I think part of it too, if we're talking about role players, and no one really wants to talk about this because it's more fun to just be like the Wolves are just dominating. And we are, but Grayson Allen got hurt in the first game. And I think he played most of the first half, and then I don't know that he came back in the second half. And the second game, it was the same ankle, and he got much more hurt. And I don't know if he's going to come back. But, like, if you look at the names of players that are actually playing genuine playoff minutes that matter for the Suns, the fact that Eric Gordon and Drew Eubanks or Devin Eubanks, I don't remember which one's which. Those guys are getting – one of them was a point guard for West Virginia in like 2009, and the other one is this guy. those two players are playing like double-digit minutes that they need. Like Booker or KD or Nurk is off the court, and like Eubanks is on Gobert or Kat or Naz Reid. And like, so yeah, missing Grayson Allen and plugging Eric Gordon, 40-year-old Eric Gordon in is like, that's not good.
Yeah. And it's also, it's like too, I mean, like it's not that old. Bradley Beal's 30. It's not that old. Kevin Durant's 35. Yeah. So it's like, again, if this is a long series, would I rather have 35-year-old Kevin Durant or the two of the better wing defenders in the NBA, 22-year-old Anthony Edwards, 23-year-old Jade McDaniel? Like, that part just kind of favors us as well. Not to just be like, we're going to win this series no matter what. But it's like, yeah, I think it does in the playoffs. I do think people over the age of 33 start to wear down more. I mean, even like – even the two, we can get this series about later. Even the two LeBron games, he was very like it's in Denver, it's at altitude, that's part of it. But like you could tell that he was just dead, and it's so surprising to see LeBron dead in game 2 of the playoffs, you know. But like he is 38. I'm dead at 30, and I don't really do much, you know. I'm a fair comparison to LeBron James.
Yeah, that you're the same person, basically.
Yeah, I think. We've been in a room together and people confused us. They said LeBron and I looked and they were but
everywhere I go, yeah, people say LeBron and I just look. Assume they're talking about me.
Yeah, I mean it is. I mean, Josh, you can speak to this series later if you want to with the Thunder. It's fun to be in long, aggressive basketball games as a young team. You know, like that's very fun. And the other thing off of that, the NBA swallow the whistle favors us so much, and I love it.
Oh, so much. I love it too.
As a very hard-nosed defensive team, and with especially the guards that we have to be able to play, you know, hip check defense is just fantastic for us, especially bigs against littles.
The Suns are very much finessey on offense too. You know, KD and Booker and Bradley Beal are all kind of float around and hit mid-range shots and silky smooth. But when people like get in in their hip the whole time, that's it. That's a huge advantage defensively, which is super fun.
Well, and that's the exact thing that we were worried about, right? Like that was the part, that was why I thought they were a bad matchup, is because like all of our defensive like shenanigans, it gets, in theory, gets negated by like good elbow jumpers that are like lightly contested. You know what I mean? And like, like that's good because that's a lower percentage. That's a lower points per possession shot or whatever nerd stuff you want to say, but
got him.
Right. But you'd say like a KD elbow jumper that's lightly contested goes in like whatever percent of the time. It's a huge percent. Like, so we were, I was worried about that because I thought it was going to be death by a mid-range jumper. They would hit every jumper and we would just lose. And what's actually happening is like they're making a normal amount of those. We're getting every rebound. And then on the other end, we're too big. So even if we miss, we're getting the rebound. Or at least that's what happened in game one. And when Nurk is not on the court, like it's the Eubanks guy, and then they don't have anybody else over. Well, they have KD.
I love KD's that we just call him the Eubanks guy. It's
that's
the
him. I don't know his name.
D Eubanks.
Yeah.
No.
There's him, and he's not scary.
Doug Eubanks.
KD's a 6'11", but he's also 35, right? He can't play center. And if he does, that's not ideal, right?
For the well, not against the Wolves. Term. He can't play center. Yeah.
Right. And he'll wear down. Like he's a human. So it's really been the opposite of what I thought. I thought it was a bad, well, I think whoever wins looks like it's a bad matchup, but like they can't get taller and we can get shorter. Nas played 15 minutes in the last game and Kyle Anderson got hurt in game one, but he was available for this last game. He didn't play at all. And I think what we did is we just said like, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, you play 30 minutes. Nas plays 15. The sixth man of the year plays 15. And like, it's cool that we're adaptable like that. So that's been fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also think like all of this needs to be taken with the grain of salt that currently on a lot of possessions, Carl Anthony Towns is guarding Kevin Durant. And so it's could all go a different way in another game at some point, you know, that's one of the matchups that I am shocked. I mean, he did have 35 in the first game. So that's very good. Every time I was like, this is actually what we're doing. We're actually having Cat guard KD a majority of possessions. That's been an interesting one to watch, but so far not a death knell. So we'll see, I guess. Yeah. We'll see. It's scary.
Yeah,
it's very scary.
It's hard. And the crazy thing is, I mean, you have to win four games, right? So you've got two of them. You had your two home games. Now, we could be talking in a week and Phoenix blows you out two times in Phoenix. And it's like, oh, crap. Like, wait a second. Now what?
And it would look bad, right? Because it looks bad for us it looks bad when they get blown out because they can't get bigger, right? But it would look bad for us if they – because they would do the thing that I'm saying. They'd make every mid-range shot. And it would look like we have no answers because we probably wouldn't, right?
So this stat just got pulled up. I don't know if you guys saw it. You may have because I think we're all watching the Thunder game right now maybe. But they pulled up a stat of worst away playoff records of any team since like 1970 or something. The lowest win percentage that any away teams have had in the playoffs. And right now Minnesota is the lowest. The reason they pulled it up is because New Orleans is second lowest. It's like they win like 20% of the time. But I think Minnesota was like 17% of the time since 1970 they've won when they're an away playoff team. And who knows if that – I mean, of course, none of that matters because none of those players are on the team anymore. But it's just with the conversation, it's just funny they brought it up. I'm like, oh, there's New Orleans. Uh-oh, who's above them? That's not good.
Yeah. It's the second lowest win percentage of any franchise anywhere in any sport. So who's the lowest? You guys know?
Oh, they passed us recently too because we were the lowest.
I think we passed them when they won a championship in the last few years, and then they passed us again when we got
the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sad Buccaneers are the ultimate like feast or famine apparently because they I'm like all I think about is I think about like the John Gruden like championship and the Tom Brady championship every other year must be a complete disaster. So I don't know what happens in Tampa Bay.
It's better than what we got going on over here. But, hey, but things up, are good right now. Things are good now. Yeah.
Anyway, just wait till we add LeBron James and his 40 and, you know, when he's 42 for this young and hungry team and win a championship and then he leaves. And then we add Baker. Who's the NBA's Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I want to give this a little bit of thought.
You'd have to be drafted really high and kind of have an ego, but people like you. Do people like Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. I mean,
is it a point guard?
Is it D'Lo? Is D'Lo Baker?
That's a good answer.
That's a really good answer. Let's go with that. Yeah, Jesse, D'Lo.
Kai, send it in the chat when you get to this point. Who you got?
I was thinking Darius Garland, but I don't think he was drafted high enough. So. I think it might be D'Lo. That's awesome. Good on you.
I'm going to play host here, and I'm going to say we're going to switch to a different series. What series you guys want to go to?
Oh, I thought that was the host job. What are we doing?
Let's go to Bucks Pacers. 1-1. The Bucks won the first game convincingly. 35 points by Dame, like we mentioned in the first half of the first game as a Buck. 35 points in his first game as a Buck as well. but that game was a lot of fun. And so Bucks chat was popping off. Let's just talk about that game the whole time.
Let's just not talk about the other one. But we kept sending messages like, this is going to stop, right? And then it just never did. It just kept bang, it just like bang. The Avalanche just kept going. You're like, there's no way he keeps doing this.
All the way through the end of the first half, right?
At the buzzer. At the buzzer in the halftime. And you're like, I guess we're just going to be up 30 this game. And then I didn't really check the score until we were up like 12 in the middle of the third quarter. I'm like, uh-oh, this is bad. And I see Dame just like walking with somebody walking right next to him. I don't even know whose face guard came from Indiana. Neesmith, I think, normally is. But he's just like, no, I'm done. And I see him in the chat like, I just like that he just takes the second half off. He's like, I worked really hard. You guys run something else. And Bobby and Chris did enough to get us through. So game one, it felt like Pacers have no clue what to do on offense. I mean, what did they score? Like 40 points in the first half? Legitimately, they shot like 2 of 17 from 3. So there's an aberration. But everything looked so rushed. Looks so uncomfortable. It's like, what? I don't think they know what they're doing. Halliburton, the only shot they had was Pascal Siakam, like 17 footers. That was basically their whole offense. And it was working for him, but not for anybody else. And then game two happened, and they looked a lot more comfortable. And we looked like a team that was missing one of the best players in the NBA. So that's what I thought it was going to look like. What I said about the second game is that's what I thought the whole series is going to look like. So I'm glad we got the first game because that gives us a little wiggle room. But I mean, that's exactly what I thought it was going to look like. They just looked faster than us.
Right.
They looked like they could make a shot whenever they needed. And we just struggled to find offense and consistency because we didn't have our like MVP all pro forward out there.
Yeah. All pro. Yeah. Going to the Pro Bowl this year.
All NBA. God. Thank you.
There we go.
That was every tweet and post and whatever was just like, this looks like this team would be a lot better if they had a guy who could guard Siakam, who's a better version of Siakam, who's bigger and faster and stronger, and they would dominate. And
that's exactly
the problem, right? I mean, obviously, it's shocking that they won without Giannis in the first place. Like, super impressive. And now we need Giannis back, or it's going to be real tough. But also, Siakam is kind of nuts, huh?
He's been going crazy. We have not played the Pacers with Siakam, so I've just kind of forgotten Siakam existed. if you were – so right now, OG Anunoby, former Raptor playing for the Knicks, and Pascal Siakam, former Raptor playing for the Pacers. If you just had to choose one of those players right now, which one would you rather have on your roster, Siakam or OG?
I mean, I would have answered this before as well, but it's still Siakam. I just think – like, I don't know, and I should say I haven't watched enough Anunoby, and so, like, that's very much a caveat here. I just think Siakam plays a terrific role, like you know, that stretch three that everyone wants in the NBA. Like, he's just that prototypical wing defender who also has an offensive game. And again, OG's similar to that too. I just really, I've really liked Siakam for a while. And so it is fun. I was very vocal with this. About, I loved that Pacers trade for him, like to get Halliburton with Siakam. is like very fun. I know Kai was saying, to give him a shout out, like it's too early, right? Like you're talking about kind of the Eric Bledsoe to partner with, or well, it was Bledsoe. Yeah. I forget if you're saying the Bledsoe trade or the Greg Holiday Oden trade. Yeah. But to partner with Giannis, right? Like that was like somewhat the comp, and he thought it was too early, which it very well could be too early. But it's just, I think too, if you're the Pacers, you're like, we don't really have a lot of cachet to like keep waiting, you know, like, right. No. We're going to bank on our past history of, remember that Paul George era we had in the 2010s. So I loved it. And I think it didn't go well game one. Well, Siakam did great, but it clearly was much better game two. And I also like after game one, I do think a lot of it's Dame's going 35 in the first half. I also think like it's a very, I think experience really matters. I think for a Pacers team that is decently inexperienced in the playoffs and decently young, to go on the road to a very good home court advantage, like, I think that was kind of going to happen. Like, I think as a Pacers, I think it's an easy game one to be like, yeah, we had to just get, you know,
we had to adjust, the waters, get our feet underneath us for sure. Well, yeah. It's super impressive about the Pacers in general right now is that, I mean, Haliburton has just like not looked good for both games. He was dominant in the beginning of the season whenever the Bucks played, and that's what I was kind of nervous about. But he's been, I don't know, just hesitant, you know, hasn't been taking shots. He just seems like he's not sure what to do on the court. And I mean, game two, their offense was still humming. So I guess that's the reason that Siakam's important there. I forgot how well Siakam can create his own shot and just get wherever he wants. That was something I didn't really realize was his game right now. And that was not fun as a Bucks fan to be like, oh, he can just like get to the free throw line whenever he wants and rise and hit that jumper. And that's not ideal.
I should say the Raptors are very much like the Bulls. Like they're in the exact same place as the Bulls. As in, you could like convince yourself with OG and with Siakam and with the other guy who I'm forgetting now, who they kept, who's very good. And clearly I'm dumb because I forget. There's a Raptors player. Yes, Scotty Barnes. That like, hey, that, you know, we have on paper, we have the talent, but it just wasn't clicking. I think I'm happy that they did their, you know, overhaul, but it's like, you know, Siakam very much was playing the DeMar DeRozan role, right? And it's a role that you forget is very talented until it's in front of you on national TV. And you're like, oh,
it's so important in the playoffs, like, and really rises in the playoffs. I mean, that ability to create a shot in small spaces gets so important when everything tightens up. And yeah, Siakam can do it. And Dame can do it if he gets a high enough screen, I guess, but no one else in the series really can right now. Bobby will post anybody up, but that doesn't really like, that doesn't always feel good, but he'll do it. Like that's been a funny, well, so Bobby is now Leo's favorite Buck. Like, I don't know if I've been sending a couple Leo videos to the Bucks chat because Leo now enjoys talking about the key butts, as he calls them. But anyway, he always talks about Bobby. So we were watching the game one, and he was just looking for Bobby on the screen the whole time. He's pointing at Bobby, 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 pointing to the players. I'm like, Bobby's on the bench, dude. He's sixth man of the year, not quite, but you know, he's
he doesn't know he doesn't know ball.
Yeah, he doesn't get it. He was pointing at a Pacer, for being honest. He also likes the color yellow, so that was a little hard because he's like, hello, yellow, yellow. It's like, Leo, stop. Yellow's bad right now. You can't be doing this.
No, Leo.
Just for now.
That was like when Ines was that same age, like a year and a half, Lori, my stepmother, kept sending me this video that Ines would go and grab a picture of me off like this shelf. But the picture's from when I'm like seven. And she's like, oh, see, she loves you and misses you. I'm like, she has no idea that's me. I have a buzz cut and I'm seven. Like, none of her grabs this picture. And he's like, oh, yes, my Uncle Jesse, who's so nice and fun. I'm like, no, you know, so like kind of a similar thing with Bobby. He's like, Bobby, 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 Bobby. And you're like, no, my guy, that's Pat Connaughton, actually. Bobby?
Leo thinks that Mandela Barnes is Kai as well. So that's a fun.
Well, he seems, I was going to say, it seems like Leo's favorite buck is Kai. He just says Kai all the time.
Yeah. Now anytime I talk about the Bucks, he does say Kai. And it's like, Kai doesn't play for the Bucks, but Kai does talk about the Bucks a lot. So I guess that's kind of a connection. Anyway, the trouble is we just have no clue how close he is really. Like, is he going to come back game three? Is he coming back game five? We just have no real sense of it. So if I could tell you right now, Giannis is coming back game three, I would feel like the series is probably still a coin flip-ish. Like, could go either way.
You think so, with Giannis?
Yeah, I think so. Just because now we're in Indiana, and I don't trust playoff Pat to come through anymore. old man Pat Beverly. I don't know. I just get nervous with all the minutes they're playing. So I think it'd be a coin flip, and my heart would tell me, okay, the Bucks can do this. But if I know that Giannis isn't playing the next two games, I think we'd be down 3-1 pretty quick. I'm just not sure what else we do.
And you guys are the ones with Doc Rivers, so it wouldn't stop.
Imagine. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have the inverse. We don't have the non-Doc Rivers person.
Hey, who's to say that Doc Rivers – like, it could be the same thing, right? Doc Rivers always does what you don't expect with 3-1.
Yeah.
He's just always been on the other side
of it. He's never been down 3-1 before.
Exactly. I've never had the chance to see.
The first game, they put a graphic up that Doc, it's his 20th playoff series, and it was like the other names with 20-plus playoff series were all like Greg Popovich and like, mm-hmm. you know, Phil, mm-hmm. he passed – I almost said Rivers. Yeah, I almost said Philip Rivers. I almost said it. I almost said it. That's cute.
You know, it's all the NBA greats. Tom Brady, Drew Brees.
No, but he passed Phil Jackson. It's insane. Like, I don't – obviously, no one thinks of Doc Rivers in that you know, universe. But he's – I mean, he's a very seasoned veteran.
He's the Vince Carter of coaching, you know, like he's been around a while.
But he got a title.
He's probably going to make the Hall of Fame, but probably, that's also surprising as a thing to say.
He's going to coach the Bucks the next 2 years, probably. Maybe three. I don't know. We signed him to a 4-year deal. We'll see how many years. I mean, we're paying like 15 coaches at this point. Who even cares? I don't know.
We're paying I want to break the record. I want JJ Redick next year.
I get Cassell, that this, bring him back. This isn't how it works, but it always is like shocking to me when they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, we're going to pay him $1.5 million over the next 6 years. And I'm like, you guys are just, can you give me any of that money? Like it's just like when it balloons so much that obviously my no entire net worth is a rounding error. It's always just a little eye opening for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no one's keeping track. The Bucks could be signing anyone as assistant coaches right now, and no one will be able to tell who's on the payroll at any given moment.
Adrian Griffin is.
He for sure is. Bud for sure still is. Why isn't Bud coaching anywhere right now? Also, is he like, did he's taking like a gap?
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Bud today, actually, because I was thinking about I think about Bud every now and then. Yeah, every few days. How often do you guys think about Mike Budenholzer?
That's the weirder TikTok trend.
I wish I thought about him more because like his playoff expressions were always the best. Always like the mm-hmm. memes that were made of his playoff expressions, mm-hmm. like at the one that always gets me was, you know, Mike Budenholzer is the person at the craps table who doesn't understand how gambling works, but is still like throwing money down because his face was always just so perplexed and committed. Anyway, what was the start of this question?
Well, I was going to change.
Where are we at right now?
I'm pivoting back to Philip Rivers. No. Would you, Josh, because I'm obviously a Bucks fan too, but yep. I'm a newer Bucks fan.
Sure.
Would you take Mike Budenholzer back right now? Like if you could just like instant swap and there's no money in it or anything like that, you don't have to worry about reputation or whatever. Just like instead of Doc coaching right now, it's Bud.
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm hesitant long enough that I think I have to say no. I don't know if Doc is appreciably better, but I think that there was such a clear ceiling with Bud that we had to change it. And I don't
the
think
championship.
What he, yeah, the championship was the ceiling. Didn't you understand the ceiling?
It was like, listen, he's not going to take us to three. He could get us to one or two, but we're looking for three or four.
I think he's replaceable. And now, like, I, maybe I'm an idiot because obviously maybe we're seeing that's not true, but.
Well, Giannis is hurt. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to
if do Giannis doesn't come back and the Bucks lose in six or whatever, like, I don't think it's a failure of a season. Everyone will say it's a failure of a season, but I don't.
Because it's a year of
really
game.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
His Dame is also 30 whatever years old.
Right, but if someone gets hurt, like what? That's just how it works. Dame's not going to win a championship by himself. So
yeah.
Anyway,
next thing. 33, just for what it's worth. Yes,
thank
I looked
you.
That up a lot. Quite.
Any other series you guys want to talk about? I don't care about any of the other ones. So
I do. I got one.
I have to mention the Cavs. My Cavs are up 2-0. And no one's given us any respect. No respect at all around here.
That's due to my magic. That's my magic's fault. Sorry about that.
I wanted to post that meme. I'll just explain it. That's how you, make a really good joke is explain a meme live on air. I wanted to post that meme about the two golfers. Who is it? It's Tiger Woods and who's the other
tree?
One, guys?
Is it? He's shaking hands with the tree.
Yeah. No, it's the big guy with the white
dog.
It looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh, John Daly.
Does he have
John Daly? Yeah, and it was gonna be winning both of your playoff games by double digits, and I was gonna have the Wolves as Tiger Woods and the Cavs as Daly, just because
that's pretty good.
Again, that's kind of what it made me think of.
That Three Dragons one where one looks like a goofball and the other two are real ferocious. And yeah. It's like because there's someone else who's up 2-0. It's the Nuggets, it's the Wolves, and then the goofball is the Cavs, and they're like, we're also up 2-0.
Hey, we're up 2-0. That was a hard game. We held them to 72 again. So
I think for some reason it was the exact same score both games. It was like 97-83 both games. It's like just the saddest. And it was 13 points from like the first quarter onward. It was one of those where like the score never changed. They kept scoring points, but the distance was always the same. So go Cavs.
Disgusting. Yeah.
So the Celtics
again,
are going to play one of those teams. So that's great.
It's not the Cavs' fault that this is happening, by the way. The Cavs are winning.
All the real Cavs listeners are like, what do you want from us?
Hey, me.
Well, the Magic play really good defense. Like, what? Yeah. It looks ugly, but it's not like the Cavs are winning and they're playing well. Mm-hmm. It's just the Magic are freaking absolutely disgusting.
It's crazy. What happened to – wasn't Franz supposed to be like – a kind of 1A kind of player. Like,
I think he's a little hurt. He's never been a not a realistic 1A. He's like a 1A on like a 22 win team or whatever. But
gotcha.
Paolo's the guy. He doesn't have the efficiency yet. Like, Franz can't shoot right now. I think he's a little hurt, but like, they're all good on defense. And like, Jalen Suggs is just Marcus Smart, which is like a really good thing to be. And like, I thought he was a bust at first and he's not, but like, Marcus Smart is not. Like, put Marcus Smart on their team, and then it's 97-84 instead of 97-83. Like,
yeah, I got you. I have watched some of that series, and I'm probably not going to watch any more of it if I'm honest with you.
Yeah,
I think I'm done. I think I'm tapped. I'm tapped on the old cat.
It is super. Like you look at like the opening weekend, you're like, that could be a fun series. That could be a close series. I posted some things about how I thought it was going to be really close and a lot of parody. And I mean, to be fair, the Heat did win tonight and the Pelicans kept it close. But like after about three games, you're like, okay, four series are done. One series looks iffy. Two series are good, I hope. And that two series.
Yeah.
One of those two series is the Mavericks, and it's a blowout every game. It just switches which team's blowing out which,
There'll be fun games, but like the Lakers Nuggets has been fun, like in terms of like the actual play has been super exciting, but the Nuggets will sweep. It'll be 4-0. It won't be good. Like, we'll look back on it and be like, and LeBron will come out and be like, this is the most competitive series they've ever played that's been a sweep in the history of kind of like the Wolves tour last year. But it's true. Like, every game has been super competitive, but it really doesn't matter when you get swept. And like, there will be other series like that too. Like, there's just like, oh, these games are pretty close. Like, this Pelicans Thunder series, I think, will be similar to that. Like, it'll keep within 10 to 15 points, whatever. It'll be pretty close, within a couple points. But, I mean, the Thunder could just sweep and then, like, was it a fun series? I don't know.
No. The one I want to talk about. Well, there's actually two very briefly to talk about. Knicks Sixers, just because, like, as a Sixers fan, like, I don't know. You could have your thoughts on Embiid, and I know he's like rubbed some people the wrong way before, and how he engages with the media and how he is on social media and whatnot. But like, it is hard to not just think of his career as just torture. You know, like,
I know.
Well, he's so good.
This is his 10th season in the playoffs. Like,
10th.
That's insane to never
in the NBA.
The 10th season in the NBA. Yeah, that's probably accurate. It's probably like his sixth playoff run, maybe seventh.
Fifth of six that he's, you know, not healthy for.
I know.
And like, I was watching that game where he got hurt, and like, he's still playing, but he just can't jump. And let me tell you, Embiid's better when he can jump. You know, like, this is a hot take. Yeah, hot take. I'm kind of coming out of left field here. But Embiid with any vertical at all is a pretty good player. And Embiid with no vertical and no lateral quickness is like Bogdan Bogdanovic kind of, you know, like.
Bojan
Marjanovic.
It's a combination.
All three of them in a trench coat trying to.
That's how you know Giannis. That's how you know Giannis is better than Embiid, because Giannis is better when he's hurt.
Yeah, same thing about it.
He actually improves, and so Embiid, he doesn't rise to that same level.
Exactly. Embiid just gets bad. So, yeah, that one was a bummer. I still think, like, they can win the two in Philly. Like they were two close games. They really should have won.
I can't believe game they two. Lost that second game. That was insane.
Sequence. Yeah, you guys were popping off in the chat.
Time. Oh, like, it's like you are clearly discombobulated. No, I mean on the inbounds. The fourth second of the inbounds when Tyrese is just flailing to the corner to get the ball. You call a timeout there. It's like I was watching it live, and I'm like, okay, you give him 2 or 3 seconds to try to inbound it. And then you look and you go, okay, this is a terrible inbounds play. It's never going to go anywhere. This is really bad. Let me try to call him out. And instead, you're like, nah, they got it. They're going to get this. They got this one.
Oh, and then it's over. That just never happens. Like, there are always these games they play where it's like, okay, they make a three, they get a quick steal, another three, and then they've won. Like that, but that never – it just never happens because
– Yeah, it's when you're watching –
Yeah.
You're down 10 and there's a minute left. You're okay, quick touchdown, onside kick, quick drive, field goal, overtime. And it's like, no.
It never happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here it was. It happened. And it was, I was just cackling. I love that feeling where you're just watching. You're like, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like in real life, sports is just incredible that way. Where it's like, I could never have seen, like, cause he missed the first one. They got the offensive rebound, got a kick out, another shot at the three to win. And then they hit it. Mm-hmm. Just insane.
The other one I wanted to do was just Nuggets Lakers quickly. Cause like, I've watched a lot of those games. I'm like, you know, I'm an ESPNer. Late night Jesse, baby. I'm an ESPNer, so, you know, they love that series, right? Everything LeBron has ever said in the history of his life is all over ESPN. So, like, it is – I watched all of the Nuggets-Lakers, and they were up 20. And it's still – like, LeBron was up 20, and you're still like, let's just give it – you know, wait till there's 2 minutes left. And it's a crazy feeling – to have. It's not necessarily his fault. I mean, he still scored 6 or 8 points in the fourth quarter, you know, but it's like, and the fact that it's Nikola Jokic, again, when you just look at him, that is like turned into the LeBron killer. And again, it's not fair. Nikola's 28, 29, you know, LeBron's 39, but it is just so funny to watch a series with LeBron and feel it's inevitable, but that he's going to lose. It's just such a perplexing feeling. And I do think.
And you know, he's going, like, you know, he's giving it his all too, is a thing. Like, we're so accustomed to, like, you can see when LeBron checks out in a game, then it's like, okay, he's saving it for the next game, but he's like invested, like fully in and can't pull it out.
Wow. And did you see that both him and AD like stormed out of their press conference over officiating? Like, you see that thing? Yeah. Do you know what the call was they were upset about?
I know it was some replay review. That's all.
It was a call in the third quarter. They were upset over D'Lo getting fouled near the end of the third quarter. And it's like, if you are storm the press conference mad about something that happened in the third quarter as why you lost, like, mentally, you've probably already lost the series. You know, like,
that's wild.
It's just like that should, you should just move. There's so many other reasons you lost. You can be frustrated that you didn't get that third quarter call, but it's such like a silly thing to see, you know, you're both your stars be like, if 12 minutes, 30 seconds left, this hadn't happened, you know, it changes the series. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just bad vibes. Like to have, cause then how long was that sitting with you all of the fourth quarter, you know, when you're like, Josh and I play Mario Kart, and thankfully I've been killing him lately, you know, just crushing it. But if you look at a season, if you look at a series, it's like 92-60 Josh right now. I'll own that on air. I own that. And it's like, you know, you've been playing and you're 6 games in and you're 1-5 and you just get all frustrated, right? And then you just start playing worse. Then you get frustrated and you start playing worse. And I do wonder if you're spending the whole fourth quarter being like, D, look, I hit in the face at the end of the third quarter. Like, why are you doing that? Why? Like, just move on. Go play a quarter of basketball. It's so silly. I want the Lakers to make it a series. Like, even if the Wolves, I mean, I hope the Wolves advance. And so I'm trying not to get too far ahead and be like, well, I got to watch this series because the Wolves are going to win and beat the Suns. And, you know, oh, here's my other take for you, Ice. How about that?
Yeah.
I very much want the Wolves to win on Friday, right? Like, I want to be up 3-0.
I'm with you on that. I just like
that on record. I agree. Yeah.
But yeah. A little bit of me has watched the Wolves lose a game under a minute. They were up by 12, in which previous teams were 0-1800 when that was the case, right? And they were the first. A little bit of me has watched that Grizzlies series where we were up 25 plus points in multiple games and no team has ever lost that. So there's a little bit of me that's worried that we go up 3-0 and we make new fun Wolves history.
Yeah. You know? Dude, honestly.
Again, that's not real. It's just like, it's just the demons of the past.
No, I mean, no,
maybe not. It's real.
I mean, teams go on losing streaks all the time, right? It would be, yeah. I mean, because that is, an NBA team hasn't blown a 3-0 lead. Is that correct?
Ever in NBA playoff history.
The Red Sox, and that's literally it. Is that true?
I think NHL's maybe happened once or twice too, but
okay.
NHL's not.
We don't talk that.
Not a real sport. Yep. We don't even. I don't think we even acknowledge its existence. When we used to assign each other.
Men aren't figure skating. It's only happened in baseball. Yes. Got him.
Is that all right? That's the pod wide. We're all in support of that take. All right. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. No. I'm honestly. I'd be lying if that thought hadn't crossed my mind as well, and it's only because like there's like Kevin Durant is a Hall of Famer, Devin Booker could end up being a Hall of Famer, and he's in his prime.
Eubanks is coming into his own. You know,
yeah, like, no, that's true too.
We're one scary Doug Eubanks away from this really being something. So
hopefully we lose on Friday. You've changed.
That's
me.
The plan.
You brought me over to your side.
No, I'm very excited and want to win. I just so we didn't can't. Hit.
Yeah. Sorry, we didn't hit Knicks. Whoever the oh no, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we
didn't
just hit for a second. Yeah,
it's funny because the only one we didn't hit is an actual one that people that could go either way. But like, I'm
Mavs
cool
Clippers.
Just not talking about.
I don't
it.
Know what to, I don't know what to make of it yet. Like, I feel like the series still has to settle a little bit. Only 2 games in. Luka was crazy. That was fun. Maybe Kawhi's back. Maybe he's not healthy. I don't know. It's just a weird series. Still, I think
I've said it. I'll say it again. I think this could be a 100-game series, and it would be like 55, 45, and 80 of them would be won by double digits. They just feel like such fluky teams. But every game, I just don't know whether –
Is it the Harden game? Is Harden going to score 40 for this game right
now? Yeah, is it the Kyrie – like Kyrie had 4 points in the first half of game one, and then I think 18 points in the third quarter of game one. And so it's like – but that's like every player out there, you know? And so they're all that way. And so it's like – yeah. Although the one thing I found was interesting is that Luka, I don't know the exact stat because I never know the exact stat, but Luka set some record for lowest field goal percentage against him on shots he defended.
Yeah.
Which is pretty shocking for Luka.
Yeah, he was 2 of 17. They were 2 of 17. And one was, anyway, I saw the same stat. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Good job. You remembered it too, which is cooler than I did there. But like, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, like, especially when they target you, you know, because all game you could clearly see the Mavs were pick and rolling till they got Harden and the Clippers were pick and rolling till they got Luka. And so it is like, it's a little less fun basketball when it's just that, you know, like I always, I'm like, okay, do the pick and roll. Yeah. And it's like, oh no, they fought over this time. Okay. They set up another pick. Okay. There's Harden. And now we run the offense. It's so like not my favorite now type of basketball that gets played.
To do something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, it's a combination of being a very exciting series and one, I just haven't caught myself like I don't know when the next game is. I know the next Lakers Nuggets game because I am very excited. I've paid attention. It's tomorrow at 9. I think the next Mavs Clippers is Friday maybe, but like I don't know. It's just,
I think I'll catch that one when it's 2-2. I'll catch it at game 5. That's where I'll start to pay attention.
Josh, I feel like you're known for having residual like paying attention to your former fan bases and
having
these feelings and the Jets and the Bears like all forever.
I'm
assigned
still connected
to you in my
mind. I'm still cheering for the Jets and the Bears. Like I'm excited right. for Caleb Williams. I'm excited for
So
Rossi's
do you just
back.
You just hate the Mavs? Why don't you like the Mavs?
I never really committed to the Mavs. Like because it was like it was that the Kyrie Irving trade happened halfway through that season. And then that end of that season, they didn't make the play. It was like the whole season was like, oh, this.
Oh yeah, they left you with a real gross taste.
Yeah, and then they purposely lost the last two games so they could get the tenth pick.
Which
so,
worked out.
Yeah, it was the right decision, but I never got to see Luka and Kyrie actually play together in a meaningful way when it actually mattered. So like if I was a fan of them this year, then it'd have the residual stuff, but. I don't know. Like, and Luka's, I mean, no offense, Luka, if you're listening, but he's super fun to watch like the highlights of and not super fun to watch night in and night out. And this is now stereotypical. Maybe it's changing the playoffs. Who knows? I haven't paid as much attention, but it was constant. Like the arms up at the ref when the ball's going the opposite way and he walks back slowly. And it's like, I just wasn't a huge fan of that. And then he'd come down and make an over, you know, backwards pass to the corner when no one else saw that person over there. You're like, oh, that was really cool. But I could just watch those highlights and feel the same way. So it wasn't as fun to like delve into it.
He's like
77 Minutes in Heaven is the name of the podcast and the little jingle.
And it was such a good jingle. Yeah.
That's
good.
Fond memories of your fandom.
I really like the Oklahoma City Thunder podcast I listen to. It's called Down to Dunk. Shout out the guys at Down to Dunk, Alex Spears. Anyway, but their intro kind of sucks. Like I always fast forward past it. And I get what they're doing. They interviewed a bunch of the Thunder players and got them to say, I'm blah, blah, and I'm down to dunk. I'm J-Dub and I'm down to dunk. But it's like a minute and a half. Like, okay, I'm just going to skip past it, you know? So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, the intro music isn't as good, but the Thunder podcast is good. But I'm still connected to all the fandoms, not Mavs. Sorry, Mavs.
Mm-hmm. Remind me.
I did bet on the Mavs with Kai, so I'm still rooting for the Mavs to win the series for what it's worth because Kai was rooting for the Clippers, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. That did remind me of one thing I heard about Ant that like the Luka thing reminded me of it. And I think it's like obviously a little bit everyone says it's about their superstar, right? But I think if Ant buys it a little more. And it, like they were like, Ant's just in no way intimidated by Kevin Durant, you know, like and by the Suns and by anything. And it's like it is very fun, even when it's not great, to watch a very talented player who truly believes he's like the best player in NBA history. You know, like there are just moments where you can and it's not that he always like plays Kobe Bryant 35 shots a game, but like there's just such
never a
confidence
question.
Around him, and he still definitely complains. I'm not saying he doesn't complain. I'm not saying he doesn't whine.
That's what I
No, and I'm not trying to say he's not like Luka because of this. It just reminded me of like one thing that I do love about Ant is just complete confidence and ferocity no matter the opponent or the situation or whatever. And it's like It's very fun as a small market. We haven't won a playoff series in 20 years. To have that be our alpha right now, to have that be our rallying guy, you know, even though he's 22. And it is like I didn't really think about it that way until someone told me on the radio. But I was like, yeah, he just like – you never like see a shot of Ant where you're like, he looks a little like nervous or he looks a little like tight or he looks a little – he might always look good. But he always looks loose, man. He's always just, you know, ready for the next play.
Always ready.
Yeah, it's fun. I love that about him.
We're lucky. I mean, there's 20-something fan bases that would be – that would be really grateful to have someone as insanely fun to, like, watch and root for.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I do think he whines a lot. But I also whine a lot when I play basketball, so we're good. It's relatable.
We're on the same page. All right, well, NFL draft starts tomorrow. We have to close with some NFL draft Vikings stuff really matters, and I have to get my dad's mock draft out there in the airwaves because it's important. People need to know what the Packers are going to do from rounds 1 through 5. Spoiler alert, it involves a person whose first name is Kool-Aid and a separate person whose last name
Kool-Aid
is
McKinstry.
And whose last name is Colson. Which is, if you remember,
Joshua Colson.
I know, yes, the man, the myth, the legend, Joshua Colson at gmail.com. Hit him up with all my housing information. So anyway.
I wonder what – Ty's going to be so mad when he hears that the Packers are going to take a cornerback at like 18 or whatever in round one. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, no, that sounds about right.
We've been talking about it in the Packers chat.
We've hashed it out deeply.
Anyway, Ice – the Vikings are actually in a super interesting spot. So just give us, just going into tomorrow, what are you looking for? What are you hearing? What are your sources telling you? You know, where are you at?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I've been emailing Schefter back and forth. It's mostly me.
Back and back.
Sending emails.
Back and back.
Back and, yeah, just back.
18th reply in the chain. Hey, just following up on this again. Wonder if you know any news about the first round.
I got my nose to the ground. I'll let you know if I hear anything. You let me know if you hear anything.
This is kind of a symbiotic thing we got going here.
I said it at the end of one of the recent pods, but I still think it must have been two pods ago because Jesse was like, oh, yeah, that sounds terrible. I still think it'll probably be a trade up to somewhere ahead of the Giants because we're worried that the Giants are going to take a quarterback, and we will take J.J. McCarthy. That's what's probably going to happen.
Hey,
it would.
That sounds horrible.
I know it does. That makes me feel better. Jesse. Thanks. Yeah. Let's go with Cardinals at the 4 spot. They trade back. I don't know if that's super likely because, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. makes a lot of sense to them. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who's at the 5. I think the Giants are at the 6, or maybe they're at the 5. Regardless, like, if we get J.J. McCarthy, I will talk myself into it. If we get Drake May, I'll be ecstatic. If we get Jaden Daniels, I'll be excited. I like Drake May the best.
If we get Caleb Williams,
specifically, then that would be confusing.
He falls to 12.
And I'm saying this on air so that you can hold me to it. I know my Wolves takes last pod kind of like softened any take that I have, but Bo Nix, if he is a Minnesota Viking, he will be absolutely terrible and he will fail and he will be one of my least favorite picks and players that I've ever watched. And I really, 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 really do not want the Vikings to draft Bo Nix. So that's my strong take.
You said your takes have been softened? What was that?
No, the validation, the truth to my takes is weak because I said that the Wolves were going to lose in 4 or whatever last week.
Yeah. So I
don't want
Bo
Nix. I don't want Michael Penis. I want one of those other guys.
Do you know where I'm going now, Ice?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to. I mean, like, yeah, we won the draft in the round. It just doesn't matter. I don't really care about any of these guys. They're all the same. I don't really care. You know, I just don't think that your nose to the grindstone for future cornerstone players of your teams is that great. You know, so in that mindset of how much you really did not care that we got Anthony Edwards, we drafted him. I think it just means Bo Nix about to light it up.
Yeah, that was a bad take too. I don't know much.
We don't know.
Not to hold against you. I just still remember you being like, this is the draft where it doesn't really, I don't care that we won. It doesn't really matter. And it just hasn't aged.
We took a high upside teenager and it worked out, but nothing I said was ever wrong. I feel good. I'm excited. It's Lane and I are going to a concert tomorrow night, which should be wonderful. And I'm a little bummed that it's specifically tomorrow night because I do think that the Vikings will probably leave the draft tomorrow night with a guy who's going to start for them a certain amount of games this year. So that's exciting. Other than that, like, I don't know. Before we do the Scotty O mock, what do you guys think? Like, I think it'll be three quarterbacks right away. I'll say Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then Marvin Harrison Jr., and then something else. Do you guys have any other takes? You guys probably don't know us. You haven't been paying as much attention.
That is, that's as the far Packers as I pay attention normally.
Awesome.
The top like five.
I have one other. I mean, Josh, you've probably paid attention to this too. I have one other in I don't want to freak out too much and be the prisoner of the moment, but the Bears next year with Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Romo Dusé, DeAndre Swift, because it is trending, like they're getting Rome as well with that number eight pick.
That's
very good. Like that, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Romo Dusé is a very good pass catching group, at least on paper. Like that is. Okay, sure. I don't know why you did that.
I still care.
That's that is to me because
they had a good defense last year too, bringing back a lot of young secondary pieces.
That's Montez just so. Sweat, anyway. I'm like trying to think of the last time I was like that excited for like a rookie QB's situation. You know, like no one was excited. Like the Texans this year, like they're really, you know, no one was excited for that. Turned into something fantastic, but like that's just so much talent surrounding what everyone has hyped, including me on this pod a long time ago as a generational quarterback. You know, like, that's just so fun.
I don't know if you saw, I saw a Sauce Gardner tweet because, you know, old fandoms die hard. You called it ice. He tweeted like, wait, how did the Bears get two picks in the top 10? Like what happened here? they were a good team last year. How'd this happen? And to be fair, also, they weren't like an actual good team last year, but to get the number one pick, it just doesn't happen where you get the number one pick and you weren't the worst team. You know, that just almost never happens. So
this has got to be such a rough time to be a Panthers fan. Vicious.
What just do you do? Vicious. You have no first rounder. Your team was the worst. The worst to watch too, right? Like just miserable.
And you just let your best defender go for what was like a second round pick, you know? Like,
yeah,
you're clearly just mailing it in to try to, I think if you're a Panthers fan, you're like, it's a bad Bryce Young year, but you know, he still has a lot of talent.
It's a bad Bryce Young year, just chalk it up to Bryce Young year. He'll bounce back.
We're one greatest turnaround in quarterback history away from really having something here, you know? So, yeah. All right, I think, Mock.
All right, so let's hit it up. So I've got Kool-Aid McKinstry is who my dad changed it to. I'd like so the official Scotty Bad Boy mock draft. So first round, Packers have a pick. So Packers right now, I'm really gonna go with the top 100 picks. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks in the top 100. They got They got a second round pick from the Jets for the Aaron Rodgers trade. They got an extra.
You see Sauce Gardner tweeting about this.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. They got a third round pick from, I don't know how, honestly, I don't know how they got another third round pick, but they got one. Maybe that was part of the Davante Adams trade. I don't know. Who knows what anything is anymore, but, so
that's a good point.
It started with Cooper DeJean, who's the Iowa safety. My dad changed that because it seems like he's getting mocked earlier and earlier. So he's thinking he's going to be gone by 25. So
that's not you, people are making fun of your dad.
Yeah, mocked. Good.
Come on, that was a good joke. Come on. All right, continue.
Yeah, blah. So anyway, we've got ourselves a Kool-Aid McKinstry going number 25 out of Alabama. We've been drafting Alabama, kind of like crazy right now. And it hasn't. I mean, our defense hasn't gotten a lot better because of it. But what do I know? Then we get
drafting Nick Saban in the first round.
Yeah, the Jets' second round pick, Dominic Pooney. Offensive lineman out of Kansas, Pooney. For what it's worth, Margie, my stepmom, went with Tyler Guyton, offensive lineman in the second round. So look for an offensive lineman in the second round, pick 41. Third round, my dad dips back. Scotty O dips back into the old secondary market for Jaden Hicks, which Washington
State safety. That sounds a lot more Green Bay, Wisconsin. Yes.
Yep. Jaden Hicks, the safety at number 58. He's going to play a lot of strong safety his rookie year, and he's not going to look very good. That's my prediction on Jaden Hicks, as future Packer. Margie went Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M in the second round. Third round, here we go. The man, the myth, the legend, Junior Colson. Junior Colson is a linebacker out of Michigan. And of course he has an awesome last name. His name is Colson. How cool is that? It's like
his email is actually JCOLSON at gmail.com.
And his favorite number is 10. He loves number 10. Junior Colson in the third round, a linebacker. Oh, so my dad, okay, this is, I didn't really read this or think this through until right now. My dad mocked us cornerback, lineman, safety, linebacker, which fits, but I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way it feels. I don't like saying it out loud.
Your dad is grinding tape right now of just like offensive lineman. Like, oh, his first step doesn't look, it's not quite there.
My dad still gets a paper draft guide every year, like with the huge one, the super thick draft guide that has like 600 prospects. He still gets that and then picks his favorites. He doesn't, and then he starts to, you know, he starts like Chris Harris and looking at just the player, you know, irrelevant of where they were mocked, where they were set up. And then he starts to look at mocks and figuring out if it's actually attainable to get them at a certain spot. His big board, wild stuff. So anyway,
we got, I mean, if he ever wants to come on, I don't know. I'd be fine with it, especially for this segment.
And then our last pick, both my dad and Margie, went with the same player in round three, pick 91. So it's a lock, lock it in. Running back out of Tennessee. You know, his name,
Jaden Wright.
You're right. Yeah. Jalen Wright, but also really close
enough.
Jaden Hicks and Jalen Wright. So we're kind of going with the Oklahoma City, get multiple people with the same kind of sounding names and then like give them nicknames based off of it. So that gets us to the top 100. We've got Kool-Aid McKinstry, just iconic names going on in the Packers draft right now. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Dominic Pooney, Jaden Hicks, Junior Colson, and Jalen Wright. Lock, 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 lock. Just all five, all four of those picks, five of those picks. So there you go. There are also like five more. My dad takes his mock drafts and Margie take it all the way to pick 255.
That's awesome. Which... Put it in the chat. Exclusive content. If you subscribe, you can get it. Manski gets it for free.
Is it just for Packers players or every player?
Can you imagine? It's just Packers.
Okay. I don't know, man.
He sent me seven rounds of a full draft. Okay, Dad.
I'm going to be honest. I'm starting to feel really shaky about the Titans' sixth round. I just feel like I'm not reading it.
They've been posting weird stuff on the forums recently.
Of my concerns with that, I just specifically, if Kool-Aid gets drafted by the Packers, he's a secondary player from Alabama, and I would not be able to like not think about HaHa Clinton Dix in the same like context.
I know.
And you guys didn't like HaHa Clinton Dix, right?
We liked him at first.
Okay, yeah. So maybe you'll like Kool-Aid at first, but those Alabama secondary.
Yeah, I think we didn't end up giving HaHa the second contract, and I think that was about right. But that felt weird because he was a first round pick, similar to what Kool-Aid McKinstry would be. So anyway, HaHa Clinton Dix, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama secondary. So we're watching the Packer draft. How's the NFL draft divided? First round only. Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow.
First round only tomorrow. Sweet. I think so. You think the Vikings do make a trade? If you had to make a prediction right now, you say yes.
I think it's more likely. And it's part of it is hope, wishful thinking. But like our organization, like the FO front office has been pretty decent so far. So like, I'm just hoping that when they traded for pick 23 with Texans, they had a plan to trade up beyond that, and they had something in place already. I'm hoping that that's the case, because otherwise, like, the quarterbacks will be gone at 11 or whatever. So I don't know. Some of it is wishful thinking, but also trust in like the decision makers. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, you gain that extra first round pick. You got to assume something's going to happen. At 11, maybe JJ McCarthy's still going to be there at 11. What do you think? Is that a possibility?
It's possible. I mean, the Giants are the only ones who I think would draft him, and like, I mean, are they giving up on Daniel Jones? What's going on with Daniel Jones?
There's going to be like deception on like everyone in the top 10 is going to be trying to get the Vikings to trade up to be like, no, we're taking him. Yeah, we're going to take him. If you don't, we're going to take him because they want those sweet, sweet picks. All right. Well, I'm excited for the draft. I'm excited to watch the Thunder continue to beat the Pelicans, hopefully. And if you're hearing this and the Thunder lost, I don't know. I'm sad, I guess. Yeah, screw you, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, all you loyal listeners.
We will check back in soon. This has been wildly close to our last podcast. We need to cool it a little bit. We'll catch you like round two or round three, maybe for the NBA Finals. And this has been Arches of the North, and we will see you next time.
Hey, this stuff gets into the pod, man. Josh always leaves.
It does? Did you listen to me at the end?
I listened. Yeah. It only goes for a little bit. So we're going to get something really quick here. Ice, you're a beautiful man.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm a big fan of you as well, Jesse. I like our friendship. So
that's good. Okay. At this point, I have no idea how long it's going to last.
No, it cut me and Kai off last time. It'll probably be like 2 seconds from now.
Yeah. It cut off kind of quick.
Yeah. Shouts out to all the loyal listeners.